Welcome to The Jump. I'm Rachel Nichols, joined by another couple of professionals. They're NBA champs, Richard Jefferson and Matt Barnes. Nice to see you here, friends. Coming up, we're going to be talking with Kings guard De'Aaron Fox. He joins the show to discuss his recent hot stretch, the Kings fighting for a spot in the play-in tourney, and his on-court chemistry with rookie Tyrese Haliburton. So stick around for that. First, though, Rajon Rondo, a two-time champ, was a major part of the Lakers' run to the title last season in the bubble, and now he's back in Los Angeles. This time as a Clipper. I sat down with Rajon to ask about how he thinks he'll fit in with his new team, what surprised him most about Kawhi Leonard so far, and just how far he thinks the Clippers can go. Take a listen.
One of the best things that could have possibly happened for the Clippers just happened.
They need vocal leadership on this team. That's what Rondo brings.
Rondo is going to take control and bring them together. He's that glue that they need.
Welcome back to Los Angeles. How do you see yourself fitting in on this Clippers team?
I just want to come in and do what I do best and try to lead by example, do all the intangibles on the court, be the extension of T. Lou while I'm out there and help each player get better.
There was such a fun moment the night that you were traded. One of the younger guys on the team, Terrence Mann, whips out your rookie card.
Somebody gave it to me, and then I had made the A team for my travel team, and I was like, man, it got to be for this card. So I kept the card in my wallet ever since. It's like, good luck, John.
The fact that there's a player in the league who's been carrying around your rookie card since middle school is inspiration. Are you old now? Is that what this means?
You know what's crazy? My daughter sent me a TikTok of it. And I was like, what do you think? She was like, you're old. And I was like, yeah. It's about that time that I realized how old I am, and I'm one of the oldest in the game as of now. So.
It's no secret they brought you in to help organize the offense, especially in clutch time, to work with Kawhi and Paul George. Why do you think you're going to be a good fit there?
I've been doing it my whole life. I think what I pride myself on is making, you know, first ballot Hall of Famer's job a lot easier.
You've been on all-star teams with Kawhi Leonard, but how is actually being on the same team different?
Kawhi's, you know, his passing ability is unreal. You know, I didn't expect him to be such a great passer and a willing passer. And I said something to him yesterday, and he looked at me like, you know, I got it all. And I was like, oh, okay, my fault. So, you know, it was just funny, you know, kind of understanding that, like, you know, he is who he is, and seeing him up close and personal, I appreciate his game even more.
Ty Lue wasn't just an assistant coach during your 2008 championship run with the Celtics. He was the coach who specifically worked with you the most. In fact, then head coach Doc Rivers called him the Rondo Whisperer. What is the relationship between the two of you like?
It's fun. You know, I've never played for a coach where, you know, I've actually played with him, or, you know, in a sense in the NBA games, or even, you know, been that close to assistant coach. So me and Lue go way back. About 10 years ago, he actually let me stay in his house in Vegas. So this is our relationship. It's always been tight. He's been a guy that's been always genuine and always been honest with me, even if we're playing cards or gambling. I mean, it's just, you know, this type of guy he is, a great person.
We want what's best for Cuz, and what's best for him is the ability to choose where he goes next.
You are really close with Boogie Cousins. You guys played together in Sacramento and New Orleans. What do you think of what he's got left after seeing him play in Houston?
I think he has a lot left, and I know he has a lot to prove to himself, the league, and he probably wants to prove as many people as wrong as I do for him. I'm hoping for the best. You know, he's one of my dear friends. I was in his wedding this past summer, and, you know, I wish him all the best. You know, he's had a tough road to get back to this point where he is.
So let's talk Lakers-Clippers. There's been an edginess between the two teams, certainly since Kawhi and Paul George came to town. You, of course, experienced that from the Lakers side last year. What is it like to flip to the Clippers side now?
It's different. It is a rivalry here in Los Angeles, but for the most part, I've been getting a bunch of, you know, just welcome backs. You know, it's different coming back to LA being a champion, so it hasn't been as brutal as you would think as far as going back from LA to Clippers rivalry, because, you know, Laker fans are still on the high horse as far as, you know, championship ring this past summer. So I'm just looking forward to competition, getting to learn my teammates as much as possible and competing.
It's funny, we have this Sunday game on ABC, Lakers-Clippers, and even without LeBron or Anthony Davis, you got a lot of spicy matchups there between former teammates on both sides. What do you think that game is going to be like?
It'll be intense. You have competitive guys that were here last year, vice versa, and it'll be an interesting game. You know, two great coaches, two great minds going at each other, and two great teams.
It's going to be a little fun for you because you know those guys so well?
It'll be a lot of fun for me. You know, anytime I get to see my old teammates, old coaching staff, it's all love and fun and competition.
What do you think is the ceiling for this Clippers group?
Championship. I mean, that's it.
You see that?
It's pretty much, what I love is, having that pressure is to see the championship robust. You know, they've been in the playoffs, but this franchise hasn't won. And that is something I'm looking forward to doing, proving a lot of doubters wrong and going against all odds.
Thank you so much to Rajan for taking the time to chat. As we know, look, he's in a Lakers uniform in this graphic because that's how unusual it is to switch from one to the other. And the Lakers, of course, play the Clippers on Sunday. He is hoping to suit up for that game. And look at his numbers across the board. Up, 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 up in the playoffs. Playoff Rondo is real. Now let's move on to one of his new teammates, Paul George. He returned yesterday after missing two games with what was listed as right foot soreness. When asked if the injury would be a long-term issue, here is what PG said. Quote, it's a day-to-day process, but I'm doing better. We are trying to figure it out now. Honestly, we're trying to get on top of it now. Hasn't seemed to go away yet, but at this point, it is just managing the soreness and the swelling. So this was an injury that he was dealing with before. He came back into the lineup, then had more problems with it. Richard, how concerned are you about this going forward?
Well, it's more about once you start getting into that really grimy part of the postseason, because with your toe, and Matt can speak on this a little bit more, it's elevation, it's takeoff. Like, even when he missed that layup, last night, it was like, did he not want to plant and take off and do those things? Those little bitty hesitations can cause, all sorts of problems. And then other things, hips, backs, because you start running funny.
Right?
I mean, toes are bad. I had a toe situation starting in high school, went all the way through my college and NBA career. So I have orthotics that had metal plates in them, so they just rocked. And my toe still to this day doesn't bend. So toes get bad, and the worst thing to do is jam it or when it flares up, because there's nothing you can really do about it. So, I mean, I know there's guys out there in the NBA dealing with this now. I know Shaq had a problem like this when he played. Toes are no joke. So they're really, like you said, a day-by-day process. Some days it feels good. You can stub it, and you can, set yourself back a week or two.
Right, and look, this is a team that dealt with injury after injury last season that eventually had an effect on their chemistry, their cohesiveness. Are we worried about that with this group this year?
I'm worried about it from this point, and this is why I'm glad they got Rondo. When you look at Kawhi's success, when he got to San Antonio, there was already a culture that was there and established. And then he went to Toronto, and there was a culture that was already established. Now he's in the Clippers, and yes, Doc Rivers had done some things, but they hadn't had that, final tier. And so they looked to him to be a guy that could finish that culture, and he just wasn't there yet. And so adding Rondo, I think, is a big piece of, the type of culture that you need to go and win a championship.
I think the Rondo pickup was a huge pickup. Obviously, his health is most important. They're going to need him on the court, but he's someone that can definitely run that team. And I think Kawhi and Paul realize that too. I mean, he's going to make Hall of Famers' jobs easier, and that's what he's brought in for. But they really addressed their issue. And what I like with Beverly's absence, it's allowed Reggie Jackson is a really good player, and he's been playing well with the extended minutes. So I'm excited for this Clipper team, stemming health. I think Paul's going to have to tough that toe out. It's probably not going to get, obviously, 100% coming into the seat, but he's just going to have to keep toughing it out. But I love their opportunity now. I agree the sky is the limit for the Clippers this season.
And you guys know, players around the league, especially when it comes to vets, you know who the real ones are. Right. Everyone knows what Rondo is and what he brings to the table. And by the way, he's got a ring from the two most storied franchises in the sport. So I think that even with guys on the Kawhi or PG level, everyone knows that respect that he comes with. Coming up, we're going to talk a little bit about Kevin Durant. Obviously made some comments
What I miss?
We will discuss. Made some direct messages that included threatening language, some slurs. We'll let him say his piece on that. All right, I want to move on to two-time finals MVP Kevin Durant. Part of his first public comments since injuring his hamstring in February, he also addressed a feud with actor and comedian Michael Rapaport that was made public by Rapaport this week. Rapaport posted private messages he said Durant had sent him, including some language that was threatening, some slurs. Here is Durant yesterday. Take a listen.
What's your response to the reaction to the social media messages that were made public on social media?
I'm sorry that people seen the language I use. That's not really what I want people to see and hear from me. But hopefully I can move past it and get back out on the floor.
All right. In addition to that, Nets coach Steve Nash said the organization had a conversation with Durant about the language. Matt, what's your reaction?
This really bothers me. And I actually had a conversation with Michael Rapport because he's a friend, and obviously KD is a brother of mine. So to me, you don't poke a bear and then when he reacts, expose it to the world. Mm-hmm. If this was a conversation that was had on social media, it should have stayed there. Don't expose it.
You and by know the way, in private on social media.
Right, exactly. You know what I mean? So to me, you're exposing a conversation. Granted, things were said that probably shouldn't have been said, and I'm sure, you know, Kevin, you know, is sorry about that. But at the same time, people always want to talk about how sensitive KD is, but if you no one understands but him how hard it is to have the world always coming at you. And I'm not mad that he fights back. You know what I mean? You can say what you want about him fighting back. I'm not mad. I fight back. I fight back still, and I'm not even on his level. So when you try to poke a bear and get a response, you know what I mean, for you to expose that to the world, I just didn't agree with that. And what I'm saying now, I told to Mike Rappaport as well. Like, to me, keep that private. You know, if you want me to hook both of you guys up so you can get on a call and try to fix it, but don't expose this to the world.
Well, and look, Rappaport is one of those individuals that is known for poking bears.
Right.
Like, that's who he is. That's how he makes his living. That's
right.
Part of, like,
I'm not even mad at the
you're
hustle.
You're not mad at the hustle. If that's what you, he has said things to me personally that I was like, okay, so these are one of the things that you would like to personally address. You would never say these things to my face.
Right.
But my point is that Rappaport, if you're going to be that type of individual and then someone confronts you privately, regardless of what they're saying, and his remarks were just, you know, inappropriate. But, like, yes, you should not air that out to the public, because all of a sudden, all the trust that Rappaport is getting,
right.
Like you said, you've worked with him. He's
right.
Worked with a G League.
Yeah.
He's worked with he's worked with a ton of people,
yeah.
And he has that respect. You start to lose that respect.
Absolutely.
Especially when you go at one of the stars and studs in our league, and that doesn't excuse Kevin Durant for his language, and I'm glad that he apologized and addressed it.
I thought Kevin, his comments were totally, I appreciated what he said, and I think we will all move on now from here. I want to move on to this. This is really huge. ESPN baseball reporter Jeff Passan tweeting, quote, huge news. Major League Baseball announces it will be moving the All-Star game from Atlanta in response to the new voting laws passed by Georgia. Major League Baseball released the statement, quote, over the last week, we have engaged in thoughtful conversations with clubs, former and current players, the Players Association, the Players Alliance, among others, to listen to their views. I have decided the best way to demonstrate our values as a sport is by relocating this year's All-Star game and the draft. Major League Baseball fundamentally supports voting rights for all Americans and opposes restrictions at the ballot box. Matt, you have been so heavily involved in the past year in the initiative to get people out to vote,
right.
And then fighting against
right.
People trying to take away American citizens' rights to participate in democracy, which, make no mistake, that is what has been going on here.
Insane. But this is big to me from a standpoint of baseball is America's passport. You mean they're supposed mm-hmm. to represent America, you know what I mean? So for them to step to the forefront and say, what you're doing is wrong, you're trying to take people's rights away, so we're gonna take our business away because for some reason you're the only people that think this is okay. And mm-hmm. granted, there's other states doing it, and hopefully everyone has to get this backlash, but it's crazy to me that we finally came together as just a unit, everyone, and came out and voted, that now they want to make it harder to vote. It just doesn't make sense to me.
Yeah, and look, when you have to understand, and it's not even a Republican or a Democrat
not
thing,
at
it's
all.
Like everyone,
everybody.
We're trying mm-hmm. to make it easier
right.
for everyone to vote. And then there's a group of people that believe, well, these people shouldn't vote, or this needs to be I understand, but once you start taking things away, and it's just like anything, okay, if that's what you want to do, and if you look at it, the Delta CEO criticized mm-hmm. what was going on, and then all of a sudden the Georgia State Senate tried to pass and take away a tax break that Delta was going to get. So it's funny that, like, people that might complain about this, they looked at the Georgia State Senate was like,
we're
hey,
doing the same thing. If you don't agree with us, we're taking something away.
If you don't agree with us, we're going to take away this tax break. And then Major League Baseball steps up and is like, well, if you're going to take away something, we can play the takeaway game.
Mm-hmm.
And that's where it becomes petty. It becomes petty, and it becomes bad for everyone. The businesses in Georgia,
mm-hmm.
all of the employees, all of the people, like an All-Star game or a Super Bowl or an NBA All-Star
huge
game.
Huge revenue.
It generates mm-hmm. billions of dollars
huge
for the economy.
Revenue.
This is not an Olympics where you have to build a ton of stuff. They use the facilities there, and it just generates money for the income. So all of the people in Georgia notice what's going on. Like, a lot of money and opportunity was lost for your state because of this situation.
Salute to the MLB.
Absolutely. Sorry, I have a lot of respect for Major League Baseball here. And you just have to look at the photo. This photo to me just kind of says, there you go. Photo's worth a thousand words, right? This is the group of people, older white men, who took away some of the access to voting for people who do not look like them, largely, just statistically, by the numbers. And I understand the law itself doesn't have racial or financial discrimination written into it, but the way that the law is written targets certain communities, and it's very clear by who is signing that which communities are benefiting and which might not be.
And we talk so much about inclusion and diversity, and I understand that those guys are elected officials, so, like, you can't criticize people that have elected them. But ultimately, if you have six individuals of any situation that are all similar, they're not viewing things from different perspectives, mm-hmm. different backgrounds, different experiences. And so, yes, you have those individuals that are going to pass this law, but is that a representation of the state of Georgia?
No.
I would think
and one last thing, obviously they pointed out the picture too of obviously they're signing underneath the slave plantation, but the fact that that picture's still up. Like, why is that picture even up at this point?
I don't know if everybody's heard about that.
It's just saying we do what we want.
So. Yes. Yeah. And there you go. And of course, it's under the cloak of, quote, voter fraud, when the actual number of cases of voter fraud have been so tiny compared to other things that do go on in this country that we haven't regulated, whether it's gun deaths, whether it's certain other things. It's just very clear what is happening. And it's clear to the fact that Major League Baseball has pulled its All-Star game.
Huge.
We will have to see what happens, because it's not just the state of Georgia. There are more than 40 states that have legislation trying to make its way through these state legislatures to limit American citizens' access to the ballot box. And it is really impressive that an organization like Major League Baseball stood up and said, sorry, we're not on board. All right, guys, coming up, we're going to talk to De'Aaron Fox. He's joining the show to talk about his red-hot month of March, possibly making the play-in tournament, plus how competitive he and his wife are. Hint, he is the one who once ended up with a black eye from a game of pickup they played together. You're going to want to hear this.
Oh, wow.
He's really fun.
Loving basketball. Yeah.
First, though, today is Autism Acceptance Day, as part of the NBA family's effort to advance the conversation around acceptance and inclusion for families living with sensory needs. Dr. Michelle Kong, co-founder of Culture City, sat down with Basketball Hall of Famer Dominique Wilkins. The two had a candid discussion about their personal connections to autism, their fight for broader inclusion and acceptance. Take a listen.
I have a 24-year-old daughter who's dealing with sensory needs, and my youngest daughter, who's 13 now, has had 16 surgeries. It's been hard. It was hard, you know, but you know what? We treat our daughter just like we treat any other kid, you know. The trials and tribulations she's been through, and to able to persevere and keep moving on, like she did her first modeling show last week. Amazing. I can't tell you how proud I was to see that. You know, I told my daughter I was going to have this conversation today, and she basically cried because she said, nobody ever talk about us. Mm. And she's so right.
Our next guest is a fourth-year guard with the Kings, averaging a career high in points. Mr. De'Aaron Fox, welcome back to The Jump.
I appreciate it. Thank you for having me.
We love you. You were here when you were a rookie, and now the progress you have made, it's been going up every year. But boy, the month of March just has been great for you. You've been averaging more than 29 points per game. You are in the top five in the entire league for the month, marking your highest scoring month of your career. What has clicked for you? How is this working?
It was one thing, definitely free throws, making my free throws, knowing the rate that I get to the line at, just knowing if I shot free throws at a higher rate, then obviously my scoring will go up and I can put my team in better positions to win. And I think that's what I've been doing, honestly.
So what did you do to improve your three-pro percentage? Did one of the assistant coach like bonk you in the head with the broom every time you missed it, or what's going on here?
Nah, I just started making them in the game.
That's it?
You know,
people sit there like, you know,
people sit there like, man, you need to get in the gym and this and this and that and that. And I mean, that's what we do. Like, we end practices making free throws, make a certain amount in a row. After I do that, Rico and I, then we do two swishes. If I end up missing one, that adds a swish at the end of the free throw. So,
okay.
I mean, we did the same thing over and over and over again. And right now I'm just making them in the game. That's pretty much the only difference.
All right, kids out there, you want to improve yourself the line, two swishes. That's the way to mechanic yourself up. The Kings are hot overall, again, largely thanks to you. But you guys are making a push to jump into that play-in range, 7th through 10th. 10th in the West. I assume if you guys made it, it would feel exciting. How does it change the way you manage this season to have that play-in option?
I mean, it's definitely different. You know, usually you're fighting for that top eight. Obviously, you know, we still want to get there because if you can get to, you know, if you can be in that top eight, then it gives you a better chance of making the playoffs anyways by only having to win one game rather than having to win two. So that for sure. And for us, we're just continuing to play and do what we do. You know, now that we're getting better defensively as a team, that's one of the reasons that we're starting to win games. I mean, we've had a top 10 offense in the league since the beginning of this year. So we know that, you know, that side of the ball, it definitely isn't the problem.
Yeah, and look, there's scoring, but then there's also scoring in the clutch, right? And you in particular, your fourth quarter scoring has really uptick, really shot up. How have you been able to elevate your games in those do or die moments?
I'm a night owl, honestly. So guys tell me it looks like I don't wake up until the second half begins. And right. I can't say that's what it is, but I don't know. When the fourth quarter starts, it's like, I don't know, man. Basketball just, I don't have the answers for it, to be honest. When the fourth quarter starts, something just clicks for me. And me attacking and getting to the line and making shots just elevates for some odd reason. I don't know what it is, but it's something about the fourth quarter.
Well, look, I'm a fellow night owl. I can appreciate that. Absolutely. And, you know, I mentioned at the top that you came on the show when you were a rookie. You've got a rook this year. You're the old guy now. Tyrese Haliburton, though, has really, he's been playing well, and you guys have taken off as a pair, really, since he was inserted into the starting lineup. How have you been able to develop that chemistry so quickly? Why is it working with you guys?
It's crazy with you saying the old guy thing. So I'm 23, I'm in my fourth year, and I feel so old. Like Tyrese was born in 2000 or 2001, one of the years. And he said something about Lou Will. This is just because we're talking about Malik. And he was talking about Lou Will. And I kind of looked at him. It was Harrison, Rico, and Tyrese, and I were shooting free throws. And he said something about Lou Will. And like, bro, you know, Lou Will just averaged 20 last year. Like, like when Lou Will had 40, it was just like, oh, that's Lou Will being Lou Will. And it's like, I was like, wow, this dude was really born in 2000. Like, it's crazy. But I mean, he has such a great feel for the game that it's kind of, he makes it easy. He makes it easy for everybody. And since he's been in the starting lineup, the scoring has risen a lot because he's such a good playmaker. I can play make, but he takes that load off of me. So he makes it just so much easier for all four guys that are in the starting lineup with him. And for him, man, his communication is high level. You know, he just turned 21 years old, but it feels like he's been in the league for a few years.
Yeah, we had him on the show pre-draft, and he was so impressive, just mature. Now, because you are the old guy now, you have to do a little rookie hazing. Back in December, you and Buddy Hield, you seemed to stick a turnover on Haliburton at the end of a win against the Nuggets. Please explain, was this planned?
Well, what happened? That's Buddy. That's always Buddy, because a lot of the times at the end of games, like, I'm like, yo, I'll take it. One, because obviously we all know it's not an actual turnover.
Exactly.
But for me, I'll be like, yo, I'll take the turnover. It's whatever for me. But no, Buddy will throw you the ball and then run to the opposite corner so you can't give it back to him.
Yep. Rookie hazing move. I'm just saying, we see it. We know what y'all are doing. So, but you know.
Oh, and I would honestly say Hassan probably hazes him the most. He definitely messes with Tyrese the most out of anybody.
If we see Tyrese on an Instagram having to fetch donuts for someone, we know.
Oh, all the time. It could be the best donuts in the world. Hassan's going to say he got them from the gas station, no matter what.
I want to get back to your training over the summer. I read Ramona Shelburne's story on you. It's got great details about how your fiance, former WNBA player, Risa E. Caldwell, she trained you this offseason. How hard did she push you?
Oh, man, she's so basic. So she gets it from her father. Her dad is an AAU guy out of San Antonio. He's basically brought up all Americans and some of the top college players in the country. So she'll ask him for some workouts. He'll basically give her a list of things that you should do, how many shots you should make from this spot, that spot. And she put her own little twist on it. And she's been through this her whole life. So her being basically my trainer this summer, because we stayed in Sacramento. So I was with the coaches and her in the gym. And it was great, man. It's she pushes me. The first time we actually played each other one-on-one, she gave me a black eye. She elbowed me in my eye, and then it started getting serious. This was about almost 3 years ago. She elbowed me in my eye literally the first time we played one-on-one with each other. And like, it can get intense, but I mean, she just wants what's best for me when we're on the court.
And the relationship survived that. So I think that really speaks to your marriage, your future marriage being strong.
That probably made us stronger, honestly, because we knew how competitive we are. Like, we have a ping pong table. We have like a little basketball goal in the house. And then we have a goal that's cemented in the ground outside that we can lower and we can like dunk on anything on the rim. So we do a lot of things together.
The epic ping pong tournament, family ping pong tournament is yet.
Oh, she broke a paddle maybe like, I think, a month or two ago.
That's how competitive they get between you two?
Her. Oh. I break PlayStation controllers and she broke a ping pong paddle.
Yeah. Well,
that one, yeah.
You know, she's got to beat you. I understand. I'm married. I get it. Darren, thank you so much for joining us. You've had a fabulous month. Looking forward to it continuing the rest of the season.
Thank you, Rachel. I appreciate it.
So fun. Coming up, Draymond Green says he's not motivated by making the play-in tournament. How should his teammates feel about that? We will discuss. First, though, here's what The Jump recommends for today. It's Friday, so that means we're recommending Zach Lowe's 10 Things I Like and Don't Like. Zach likes Giannis's improved playmaking. Find out how and why during the break. Check it out, and then we'll be right back with you. Welcome back to The Jump. I want to discuss a comment Draymond Green said after the game last night. So the Warriors suffered a hard-fought loss to the Heat, but Dre stuffed the stat sheet, 16 points, 10 boards, 8 assists, 4 steals. And after the game, he lamented the hit they took in the standings while also questioning the value of staying in that top 10, which of course means the play-in tournament.
Fighting for a play-in spot does not motivate me. We're in, 10? Fighting for a playoff spot doesn't motivate me at all. Like, I don't go into these games thinking at all, like, hey, right there on the fringe, we need to win these games for this play-in spot. No.
All right, so the Warriors are one game ahead of the Kings for 10th place. Tell them how you feel, Draymond.
Hey.
Richard, how would you feel if you were a vet in Draymond's position about how motivating it would be?
This is what I'm going to say about Draymond. I'm going to say that entire thing was a little bit out of context, because I feel like what he's trying to say is, like, I'm not waking up trying to get to the play-in spot. Like, our goal is greater than that. We've achieved more than that. That's what we do. So don't, like, how worried are you about dropping, you know, out of the – he's like, that's not what we're focused on.
Right.
So I understand. That being said, Draymond understands the process as well as anybody. And if you guys want to keep building yourself into a championship opportunity, getting this experience – and make no mistake, they didn't go to the bubble. So they had a whole lot of no basketball for a long time. So getting guys like Wiseman, getting guys like Wiggins, even if it's a play in a one game tournament, like, all these things, that's great experience for their team for next year. So there is positivity to it, but I'm gonna say some of that was out of context.
I mean, I love Draymond because he speaks what's on his mind. And like Richard alluded to, I mean, he gets excited to go to the finals.
Right.
You mean, they just come off a dynasty run. Obviously, you're not living in the past, but I feel what he's saying. But at the same time, you know, playing for that bubble is not, when you get a little older, it's not as exciting. Obviously, this is a new situation, but that doesn't excite him. Like Richard said, the younger guys still got to keep their foot on the gas. You know, Draymond's still going to play hard, but if they didn't make the playoffs, it's actually better for their future.
Yes.
So you just kind of understand the business of it, but he's always going to speak his mind, and I love it.
Absolutely. Your former teammate.
Right.
And here's what I know about Draymond Green. If they end up in a play-in game,
he's going to play his butt off.
Draymond Green will play his butt off. He will be plenty motivated when the time comes, so I'm not worried about that. All right, coming up, we're going to talk a little Joel Embiid. He is expected to return for the Sixers this weekend. What is your grade for how the team has performed in his absence? We'll discuss that. All right, it is crunch time here on The Jump. History will be made on May 7th in NBA Basketball Africa League will tip off its inaugural season. The league, it's a partnership between FIBA and the NBA, announced Monday. Its first season will take place in Rwanda. There will be 26 games played among the 12 club teams spanning a dozen different countries in Africa. Richard, what do you expect from this league?
More Giannis's and Embiid's coming over. It's going to be a problem. It's a beautiful thing, right? At the end of the day, that's why soccer is so big. The entire world plays it.
And we're coming for soccer.
And we're coming. I'd be 50 more years.
And look, by the way, the impact on the NBA. You can see it. 40 years ago, 0 African-born players in the NBA. This season, there are 18, the most ever in a single season. Team president, who was born in Africa, won a title 2 years ago.
There's been legendary players, I mean, that have come from there. So I love it. I love it. The growth of the game is a beautiful thing.
Yeah, well, and the only way to get it done is to force it. You have to push it. You got to give resources.
You got to give opportunity. Access
to all the things.
To the game.
And bringing in jobs and all this kind of stuff.
And even then, when you look at now some of the guys in the league, like Pascal Siakam, and you hear how late they picked up a basketball, if those guys can pick up a basketball and be supported earlier, just imagine, the sky is the limit. All right, LaMarcus Aldridge made his debut in Brooklyn last night. He was in the starting lineup, had 11 points, 9 rebounds, 6 assists, 2 steals. Richard, how will he fit in when they are at full strength?
I think he's going to fit in great because, again, when you get the James Harden pick and roll, the Kyrie pick and roll, it's all about, well, who can we leave? Who can we help? Mm-hmm. It's just another player on that floor that's going to force you to have to go into one-on-one situations with Kyrie, KD, and James Harden, which is every team's nightmare.
And you got to think, Blake and Aldridge have heard a lot about what they aren't anymore. They're in a fresh start. They're really excited. And Steve Nash is going to have a lot of great chess pieces to play down the stretch.
And you guys were talking about the fact that LaMarcus clearly just was not happy in San Antonio at the end there, and that affects the way you play. So he can be, as you said, Matt, rejuvenated maybe in Brooklyn. Not maybe at the height of his career, right, but can be a different player there.
Oh, well, you saw Blake Griffin. I'm not saying that Blake might have been sandbagging. I'm not saying that James Harden might have been sandbagging, but Blake ain't dunked since in 2 years,
yes.
And he has 3 dunks in 2 games in his first 2 games. And so not saying that he wasn't giving 100% effort, but it's more of like when guys aren't happy, even when you play well and you're not happy where you are, you don't get any joy because you don't want to be there.
And there's a risk reward too. If you know your team isn't making the playoffs, if you know that things aren't going well, why do you put yourself out there more physically, a guy who's had injuries, to say, well, what am I sacrificing this potentially for? You give someone more that they might want to sacrifice for, you will see them possibly make that calculation a little bit differently.
And you got to think, both these guys have had great careers, just the opportunity to get a ring.
Yep.
You know what I mean? So, beautiful thing. Love it.
Very motivating. All right, let's talk MVP candidate Joel Embiid. He is expected to be back in action this weekend after missing the last 10 games with a bone bruise in his left knee. Philly is 7-3 with Embiid out of the lineup. So, Matt, what grade would you give them in Joel's absence?
I give them an A. And as I spoke to earlier, this is just valuable time that and touches and minutes that some guys wouldn't normally get. And when you can get these guys rolling, because you always want to make sure your role players are going to do what they be ready to go, because you know what you're going to get from your stars. Mm-hmm. So if you can have your role players playing great going in the playoffs and keep that going in the playoffs without Embiid, his health is important. Once he's back, they're going to be a tough out.
Yeah, they're going to be a tough out. And this is what's crazy. When you take away an MVP caliber player or guy that has a chance from this type of team, they're still a playoff team. Like, make no mistake, with, you know, Ben Simmons and Tobias Harris and all the talent that they have. Yeah, they're still a playoff team. Maybe they're 4, maybe they're 5, but they're a playoff team. You add an MVP guy, now they're one of the favorites.
Now they're a threat.
Now they're a threat. So it's like, I'm glad that they didn't, like, all of a sudden, like, we're waiting for Joel to come back. No, they went out.
They
played.
Ben Simmons.
They still have Ben Simmons. Tobias, I'm saying they have a ton of talent, so it's great to see that they didn't, like, take a step back and they kept pushing, so it'll be a seamless transition when Big Fella comes back.
Well, also, go ahead, Rich.
No, I was just going to say that he missed 10 games with this injury. Where do you think that means for him with the MVP race?
He might have. It's tough.
It's all about when he comes back. We got plenty of time left to go down this stretch.
Right.
And they're battling.
10 out of 72 this year, not 82. Right. I just, you know, LeBron obviously is missing games. So some of the other candidates are also missing games. But then you've got Nikola Jokic, who's been there. You've got James Harden, who said he feels he's the MVP.
Everybody feels like they're the MVP.
There's a lot of high-level basketball this year being played, and I love it. At the end of the day, that's what it's all about, and it's going to be the playoffs are more exciting. I think the play-in is going to bring so much more excitement to the game, even though Draymond's not excited about
it. I'm excited.
I'm excited about it as a fan, so I think this is going to be fun heading down the stretch into the playoffs.
Yeah.
Let's go.
There we go. I mean, this is a year where we weren't sure what we were going to get with COVID, and we have gotten excellent basketball. You're right, Matt. Thanks to these guys for joining me.